Well, as I was reflecting on this whole business about the shepherd and the great shepherd, I was reminded again, as I always am every time I see this, of the end of Hebrews, which is where our benediction is going to come from, just a small spoiler alert because it's one of my favorites. And as I was thinking again, often when we look at this, we look at it from the perspective of the sheep, and there's nothing wrong with that because that's part of what we're looking at. And this time I was led to pay a little more attention to what it means for the shepherd. And so as I was looking, particularly in the Gospel according to John, although there's certainly some references to the same ideas in 1 John, if nothing else, in the very first verse, in verse 16, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, which certainly picks up on one of the primary themes of what John says in his Gospel. I was thinking again of what's happening here and what this means. Our great shepherd paid a pretty heavy price for being willing to be our shepherd. And we see that as one of those things that comes with being a shepherd, right from the very beginning. John says that a good shepherd lays down their life for the sheep. Hired people don't do that because they have no connection with the sheep. This is just a job and off they go. But there's something different about an actual shepherd. And Jesus is the good shepherd, which is fairly obvious. It's not giving anything away. And not only does the shepherd have this connection with the sheep have a connection with the shepherd as well, which was a good reminder of that. Somebody described it as an intimate relationship of knowing and being known. If we're not careful, we can look at this analogy, this metaphor, as a one-way kind of thing. That the shepherd knows everything and the sheep just follow the shepherd because that's all they do. But the analogy breaks down, as every analogy eventually does. Because in this case, we don't follow the shepherd. We don't follow Jesus just because he's in front of us. We don't follow Jesus because he's behind us with that staff of his giving us a poke to keep moving. We follow Jesus because we know Jesus. We follow Jesus because this shepherd has demonstrated not just that he wants to lead us, but he's willing to do whatever it takes, including giving up his life, which of course we celebrate particularly here in the season of Easter. Because Jesus' connection with us is more than just a shepherd who takes us from one place to another. There's this deep involvement of Jesus in our lives, this ongoing connection with what we're doing at the moment. One of the things that my spiritual director was suggesting that I try, something that he's done, is to explicitly invite Jesus along. Not because if you don't, he won't come with you, because he's always there. This is one of those things that you say to yourself to make you pay more attention to it. And he said one of the things that he'd done over the years is he'd started inviting Jesus to go to meetings with him. And you think, what? Why would you do that? And I suspect he sort of wondered why he was doing that at first too, but he said it made a significant difference. To realize that Jesus is with us in meetings, just business stuff, getting together with people to make decisions about where you're going to go next. He said it changed how he interacted with the people in the meeting. Not because they became different, not because Jesus was suddenly there when he'd never been there before, but because he was aware of it. Jesus is intimately involved in every part of our lives. We just sometimes forget that. Or we sometimes live our lives as if he isn't. And I think this is just part of being human. It's hard for us to keep track of everything that we think is of value at all times. But this reminder of how connected Jesus is with us is something that I don't think we can ignore or forget about. I think it's something that's worthwhile coming back to on a regular basis. And this passage pushes us in that direction, because one of the things that is different about this metaphor for shepherds and sheep at least as it is today, now, as far as I can tell, most people, at least in Canada, if they have sheep, they put them in a field and they come back every once in a while to make sure they're okay. Because we've got fences and we've got a bunch of other things that simply didn't exist a couple of thousand years ago. And back then, shepherds, for the most part, spent most of their time with the sheep because they didn't have fences. They did free-range sheep raising, which maybe they do in other parts of the world. I don't know. I don't know a whole lot about sheep. And what I do know is primarily from here. But the shepherd was with the sheep all the time. Because if the shepherd wasn't there, bad things could happen. And I wonder if sheep, assuming that they've got this kind of ability, I wonder if sheep ever wonder or ever just think, well, there's no shepherd here. Because they happen to be looking in the wrong direction. And when they're looking straight ahead and the shepherd's behind them, they say, well, there's no shepherd here. I must be okay. I must be on my own, I must be afraid, whatever it might be, whatever goes through a sheep's mind when it doesn't think there's a shepherd. Then we sort of snicker at that, and then, well, are we so much different? Do we occasionally find ourselves living our lives as if Jesus is somewhere else? And because of that, we can cut this corner or whatever it is that we're going to do because, well, Jesus isn't here, except he is. One of the things about our great shepherd is that he doesn't need to take breaks and go away. He's always with us. He's always involved with us. And he's always going to be that good shepherd who is willing to do what it is that we need so that we can be safe, so that we can be well, so that we can know what it is that we should do and then have the power and the strength to do it. You're talking about a literal shepherd. All they really have to do is make sure the sheep stay alive and have enough to eat so they can continue to grow and be healthy. Our shepherd is interested in more than that. Jesus is interested not just in keeping us alive, not just in making sure we have enough nutrition so we don't just die. Jesus is interested in how we are. Jesus is interested in who we are and is willing to lead us in those directions that will take us to places that we want to be, sometimes before we even know we want to be there. One of the great things about being in a relationship with Jesus is that we're no longer limited to what we know and what we think, that we now have access to God himself to give us the assistance we need to become the people that we want to become in ways that perhaps we wouldn't have ever predicted. I often think one of the most peculiar habits we have in a culture is we keep asking people what they want to do or what they want to be when they grow up, as if they somehow knew or know, because we certainly didn't know. And I don't think there's anything wrong with it exactly, but I sometimes wonder, what are we actually trying to accomplish there? Although, as one person said, the reason why everybody asks kids what they want to be when they grow up is because we're all looking for ideas. See what we might want to be now. But we're ill-equipped often when we're younger, and for that matter, through much of our lives, to know what it is that we actually want to do. And often it's when we suddenly find ourselves in these places that we go, this is what I was created to be, and I didn't even know it. All kinds of people, when they were younger, the very notion of having children was just, well, it wasn't that it was abhorrent or anything, it was just completely foreign. The notion of having children was just kind of crazy. And sometimes even as they get older and they're into their sort of teen years or into their 20s, and sometimes when they're into the beginnings of significant relationships that often end up in life partners, and they still think, well, kids, what's up with that? I don't want kids, or I don't know what I do with kids or anything else. And maybe I just have an unusual set of friends, but the number of people I know who describe that kind of experience, who are fabulous parents, is really high. And it's not just that they've somehow fallen into something that they're naturally good at and they just do it because it's there. These are the same people who talk about how much they enjoy being parents. They didn't know that. They didn't have a clue, because that's something you can't know until you're actually there, until you have these children that occasionally drive you crazy, but for the most part give you just an indescribable amount of satisfaction and joy and delight. It's not just those things. It's where we end up with in our relationships with friends. Sometimes it's with jobs that we never would have planned for or thought we would enjoy. How do we get there? Well, if you're given to someone who believes in coincidence, which I'm not, but if you are, you can say it's just a coincidence. If the right person at the right time suggested that you go in this direction, and you did. But I think what it is more than that is the great shepherd took you where you needed to go. Jesus is so much more than that simple post-death ultimate where we're going to be. He's so much more than just, as one person rather crassly put it, fire insurance. Jesus is for now. And Jesus is with us in ways that move us to those places that we need to be and want to be without even knowing where those places might be. And we sort of wonder, how do we do that? How do we continue moving forward while waiting for Jesus to tell us where to go? And it's one of the paradoxical parts, if you like, of the Christian life that we also see in the life of Jesus. Because what we see is Jesus laying down his life is this free act that he does for us. And that's how it's described that way frequently. Jesus freely gave up his life for us. But it's also frequently described as Jesus gave up his life for us as a sign of obedience to the command of the Father. Well, is it one or the other? The answer, of course, is yes. It's both. It doesn't function well in this simplistic dualism of either or, because it's more than that. And it's the same way for us when we follow Jesus. Do we simply lie in bed until, you know, God picks us up and pushes us in the direction we need to go? Well, of course not. But do we make all the decisions? Once again, of course not. We follow while doing, and we do while following. And when we're in that frame of mind, when we're in that experience, that's where we end up where we need to be. Not because it's all of our effort, because often we don't know where we want to end up. But it's also not just God dragging us somewhere. We're part of this. We're working with Jesus. Part of that conversation that we have with him through prayer and through that awareness of him being with us is hearing where it is we need to go next. Sometimes it's really obvious. Sometimes it's really clear. Sometimes it's even really dramatic, like Paul getting knocked off his horse. But often it's a little more subtle than that. Often it's that little nudge that we have to consider this thing or talk to that person that we realize in retrospect was a critical time for us, part of making the decisions that got us to where we realized we always needed to be. That's what our great shepherd does for us. It's not just a matter of being driven to a better pasture. And for that matter, in our case, it's not just a matter of following to another pasture. It's an ongoing conversation, because the relationship that we have with Jesus is so much more than the relationship any sheep can have with a shepherd. But thinking in those terms, using this analogy, difficult as it is for us to really enter into it, because we don't keep sheep and we don't see a lot of sheep and very few of us know a lot of shepherds or even one shepherd. But that part of this analogy where the care is there, we see that shepherds are willing to put themselves between danger and the sheep. That certainly connects with us. That certainly relates to our relationship with Jesus. But it's more than that. As we follow Jesus, as we walk with him, as he takes us where it is that we need to go, whether we know that's where we need to go or want to go at that point, that's the relationship that we're talking about. That's what makes Jesus the great shepherd rather than just the hired hand who points you in the direction you need to go. And if you get there, that's fine. But if you don't, well, whatever. They're not my sheep. No. Jesus is with us every step of the way, helping us to take better steps and to get to places that are going to enable us to be everything that we can be. Jesus takes us to those places where we make the difference that only we can make. Each of us has a unique call. Not just one thing that we do, but many things that we do that only we can do because of who we are and our experience and our locations and all of those things. And when we're in that relationship with the shepherd, that's where we end up. In those places where we can do what it is that only we can do. We end up in those places where we can become what it is that we most desire to become. Because it's not just someone dragging us along. Our great shepherd takes us places that we want to be, even before we know we want to be there. Because this shepherd knows what we need even before we do, and loves us enough to make sure we get there. Amen.